Today's shiur is Masechet Shkolim, Daf Yud Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. Rav Elazar Omer Yimachru Hamin. We had learnt in the Mishnah that the Mishnah taught us the last case of the Mishnah was that Hamagdish Nechasov, somebody was Magdish possessions for Hoy Ben Dvorim Ruim L'Gabim Mizbeach. Yenoi shmanim v'ofois, wine, oil, birds. So Rav Elazar told us that they should be sold for whoever needs those various items, and with the proceeds, carbon oil should be brought. And as we mentioned in the previous year, the Mefarshim point out, didn't Rav Elazar earlier in the Mishnah teach us that everything that's donated goes for Bedek Habayis? Yet here he says it should be sold and be used for carbon oilers. So he pointed out there two terutzim. One terutz is that the girsa in the Mishnah is not Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that everything should be taken for Bedek Habayis. Rather, the Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar. Another girsa, that's the way the Rambam learns, that since we're dealing with items that don't have pidyon, that don't have a loch of redemption, therefore, on these items, even Rabbi Elazar agrees that they should be sold for people who need them, and the proceeds should go for carbon oil. Says the Gemara, what is the basis for this halacha? Rabbi Avuhu b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Talmud Rabbi Elazar, because the reasoning is, it says in the pasuk, "Dabal Aaron v'Albonav asher yikruvu l'Hashem l'Oila." Hakol Korav Oila. Everything that somebody's magdish should be brought as a carbon oila. L'Tzoinchem Tamim Zocher Yochav Filo Oifis. I should be thought that we should be able to use the proceeds of selling these various items for an oila sa'oif, that we could use them to bring an oif oila, tamalayma babaka v'loiv oifus, that has to be used for an animal carbon oila, not for a bird. Actually, the Brisker Rav asks that this pasuk is only talking about birds. How do we know that the halacha applies by the various other items that are mentioned in the Mishnah, yena shmanim v'saltois? And he doesn't really say an answer, but the Rash Serla answers, because the pasuk says, "L'ritzoinchem tamim zocha babaka b'kvasim b'izin." So he explains that this pasuk has four extra letters: the bay is before bakar, the bay is before b'kvasim, the bay is before b'izin, and then there's u'b'izin, so there's an extra vav. So we have a pasuk for oifois, yenois, shmanim, v'saltois. Before we begin the next piece of Gemara, it's worth reviewing some of the dinim we've learned over the last few shiurim, and maybe some new concepts. One is that there is a concept of something having kedushas aguf, inherent physical kedusha, and something only having kedushas tamim. Kedushas aguf is a higher level of kedusha. Something that has kedushas aguf, an animal that has kedushas aguf, cannot be redeemed unless it has a mum, a blemish. Furthermore, as we learned in the previous year, something that has kedushas aguf could affect a tamura. Another halacha is that oifos, birds, ain lahem pigeon. Somebody's magdish a bird, and the bird was not a balmum when he was magdishit, even if afterwards the bird becomes a balmum, there is no pidyon to that bird. The only time a bird could have pidyon is when we were magdishit, when it was a balmum, and in fact, a mum by a bird is only when a limb is missing, but if it became balmum after we were magdishit, we can't be poided. And the third item to review is something that we discussed yesterday. We had yesterday one of the last pieces of Gemara we learned, Hamagdish Nekeva, if somebody was magdish a female animal le oila le psachim le oshim, to be used for carbon oila, to be used for carbon pesach, to be used for carbon oshim, which on the keva, a female animal, is not supposed to be used for those kabanas. We had a machlokes, does that nekeva obtain a kedushas aguf, that it should only be able to be sold when it has a mum, that it should be able to affect tmura or not. We saw a three-way machlokes. Tanakhama said it does obtain this kedushas aguf. Rav Shimon said it only obtains kedushas aguf by nekeva for Karman Pesach. Rav Shim ben Yehuda said it never obtains a kedushas aguf. Rav Yimriya Rabun Barchiya have Yasmin v'Amrim. Tam and Omer, Rav Yochanan, before, in the previous Gemara we explained, Tam and Rav Shimon, why did Rav Shimon say that if somebody designated a nekeva for a carbon oila, it gets a kedushas aguf, it makes tamura? Shekein nekeva sheba'oif k'sher lava oila, because we explained that there is a connection between a female and a carbon oila. Because when an oila's bird is brought from birds, there it may even be brought from the keva. Oba mahachin. And here we're learning that birds that we actually want to have the kedusha of a carbon oila should not be brought, they could be sold. In other words, the Gemara is saying, yesterday we said that if we have an animal, which a nekeva, a female animal, which can never be used as a carbon oiler, yet because a carbon oiler from a bird could come from a nekeva, that's already enough to say that there's a connection between an oiler and a nekeva. Certainly, in our Gemara, where we designated the oif as kodesh, we should say that it has a kedushas aguf and should not be able to be sold without a mum. Yet in our Mishnah it says we could sell it. Obviously it doesn't have a kedushas aguf, because if it had kedushas aguf, as we said before, a bird that has kedushas aguf ain't a pigeon, can't be sold. So how come when I designated a bird doesn't it get kedushas aguf? Answers the Gemara. Amr of Yosi, Kamais Baha, Kahad Amr of Shmuel Rav Shimon Mizera. Rav Elazar's psak could be understood according to what Rav Shmuel Shimon Mizera said, who he explained, Kol She'eni Yikarev, Kol She'eni Yichal Yikarev, Loi Hiv Loi Dema. In any situation where the bird or the item we're looking at, it itself can't be brought in the Mizbeach, and nor can its value be brought in the Mizbeach, like Kach al Hegdish Domim, then it only obtains a Kedushas Domim. Vat Amrit Yos. And what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Like Kriva Eni Yochel, if somebody was Magdish to Oif, the case that we began today's shiur with, Ein At Yochel, you can't be Makrav that bird as the carbon oiler, the Ksiba Bakr. The Torah said it should be brought as a carbon oiler of an animal, Veloy Oifus. If you're going to say it should obtain a kedushas haguf, then liftoisoy ain at yochel, you won't be able to redeem it. Because as we said a moment ago, she'ein la'oif pigeon, a bird that has a kedushas haguf can never be redeemed. Lefrim kach tzarech meima, therefore we say, lekach al kedushas domin. And as the Brisker Rav explains, normally, we explained yesterday, something begins with a kedushas domin and it expands to kedushas haguf. Over here, the Torah does not allow it to expand to a kedushas aguf. For if it will expand to a kedushas aguf, there will not be anything what we could to do with it, because we have that dilemma. The Torah says that the bird that we were magdish should remain only with a kedushas aguf. So the Gemara continues to analyze that machlokes that we discussed when somebody was magdish and the keva for oila shlomim or karm pesach. Chavrai b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Avi b'Nagri Omer Kumi Rav Eil b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Tama dahin tama. The reasoning for Rav Shimon Yehuda, who said that if somebody was magdish in the keva for shlomim oif, for shlomim oshim or psochim, it doesn't obtain a kedushas aguf. It doesn't be able to affect the tmura, because the pasuk says, "Vim bekal tehema tmeya ashla yikrivim menu karmel Hashem." If somebody will take an animal which is tamei, is the question, "Ma tameloim tmeya?" What does the Torah mean when it says about a tamei? It doesn't refer to carbon tamei, to animal which is a non-kosher species, because the pasuk later will discuss that type of animal. Ela filu tamei b'ayis Hashem. What the Torah must be meaning is that it's tamei because it's not qualified to be used for this carbon, which means a female which is disqualified because it's not supposed to be used for this carbon. And the Torah is telling us that it can be redeemed immediately, even before it becomes a balmum. Why can it be redeemed immediately, even before it retains a blemish? Because it doesn't get a kedushas aguf, which is exactly what Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said, that if we're magdish and the cave for one of these karbonos, it doesn't get a kedushas aguf. For Kasha, ask the Gemara, if you're saying that it doesn't get a kedushas aguf, but the pasuk says bedok siv vehemed veherich, that it should be stood up before the kohen and the kohen should evaluate its value. Now the din that hamada and harocha are required is only by an animal which has a kedushas aguf. But if you're saying that it doesn't have a kedushas aguf, why is there a requirement for vehemed veherich? So therefore the Gemara says that perhaps this pasuk is a proof to the other direction, that we're going to prove that in the keva that we were magdish for one of the kabbonis that we can't use it for does get a kedushas aguf. Zayir b'shem Rebbe Lezer lo yamakein ella v'mkol behemet tamei ashlo yikruvim menu karbon l'Hashem kol she'ena ruya likarav loy kan v'loy b'makam acher. Only an animal which is never fit to be a carbon, ein oisa tamura, can never affect the tamura, can never have a kedushas aguf. Yotz in the keva l'oila, this excludes a carbon in the keva for an oila. Afa pish ein a ruil karv kan, for although it cannot be brought as a carbon oila, ruil carbon makamacha can be brought as a carbon in other places, and the keva can be used as a carbon shlamim, and therefore even one was magdish on the keva for a carbon oila, it will have a kedushas aguf. Ask the Gemara, Rav Avin v'Rabon boy kamei Rav Zeira, harei haroiva v'anirva, an animal that's sodomized, or was sodomized, shein rikuyo l'karv loy kan v'loy b'makam acher, that it's never eligible to use as a carbon. V'arei enoisim tamura, yet we see that they make tamura, they do get a kedushas aguf. But we just said, Rav Zeira just said, that any animal that can never be used as a carbon doesn't get a kedushas aguf and should never be able to affect the tamura. Amalam, so he said, af ani loimati el tamei mamish, I only refer to an animal which is non-kosher, that the entire species is excluded from being able to be brought under mizbeach. But an animal which is a kosher animal, just this specific animal is disqualified because it's a roiva or a nirva, that's not what I refer to. That's why an animal which was roiva or nirva does make a tamura. There's a machloikis in the mefarshim when we're saying now that an animal which was a roiva or a nirva does make tamura, is able to have a kedushas haguf. Is that only if the animal was sodomized after it became kadosh, or even if the animal was a roiva of a nirva prior to becoming hegdish, the same din will apply? However, as the Gemara of Akasha, you're saying that the pasuk here is referring to a non-kosher species. That's the only animal that doesn't get a kedushas aguf. Any other animal, even though it's not able to be brought for what I designated it for, but still, since it can be used as a carbon in a different situation, obtains a kedushas aguf. If you're saying that the pasuk is talking about a carbon animal that's tamei, but the pasuk says vehemet veherich, that you have to stand it up in front of the kohen and evaluate it by the kohen, that din certainly doesn't apply only by animals that have a kedushas haguf. But if the pasuk is talking about a behemet tamei, certainly the pasuk wouldn't require hamod v'arocha. Therefore, that cannot be explanation of the pasuk. And therefore, as the Mefarshim point out, this pasuk cannot be used as a source to understand the machlokes that we had regarding somebody who was magdish animal in the keva for carbon it can't be brought for. In introduction to the next Mishnah, we'll mention what the Tveris Yisrael teaches us. Tveris Yisrael says that our Mishnah teaches us that the base, and we mentioned this thing already earlier in the Masechta, Hegdish is Yodei Al Yonai. Hegdish always has the upper hand. Meaning that if Hegdish contracts to buy flour or other items and the price is set at 4 saw of flour for Zuz, and then the price of flour goes up, Hegdish locks in the cheaper price. If on the other hand the price of flour drops, Hegdish gets the better price. Farshim say, the Gemara says that this is the basis for knowing that Hegdish is not subject to ribis, to the problems of interest, otherwise there may be a subject of interest here. There's also a machloikis in the Rishonim. When we say that Hegdish has this advantage, is that only when Hegdish is buying products, or is it even if Hegdish is selling products? That if somebody comes to the Beis HaMikdash to buy an item and they set a price and then the price changes, will it still be Hegdish Al Yonai? And if the price goes up or down, this customer would have to change the terms of the deal to the benefit of Hegdish. That's a machlokes Rashba and Ram. So our Mishnah teaches us that every year at the beginning of the season, when the wine was produced or the flour was produced, a price was set. But then the Mishnah also teaches us that every 30 days that set price was reevaluated to see if there was any fluctuation in the price, that Hegdish should reevaluate what it should be paying. Says the Mishnah, Achs l'shlosh yoyim, once every 30 days, Misharen Salishka, they would evaluate the prices. Says the Mishnah, Kol makabel l'sapik saltas b'arba. Somebody agreed to supply Hegdish 4 saw flour for a seller. Om de mishalosh. And then the price of flour goes up, that you only get 3 saw for a seller. L'sapik m'arba. He still has to sell Hegdish at the originally set price of 4 saw to a seller. However, Mishalosh, if they said that Hegdish would receive 3 saw for a seller, and then the price drops, the Omdu Ma'arba, and you could get 4 saw for a seller, the Sapik Ma'arba, then Hegdish gets the new price. Shiyat Hegdish Al Yonai. Hegdish always has the upper hand. Furthermore, in Mesliya Soilus, if the Hegdish took flour and became wormy, Hesliya Loi, it's the seller's loss. If Hegdish bought wine and it becomes sour, it's the seller's loss. The only time Hegdish has to pay, and that's when we look at the quality of the product, when it's actually used on the Mizbeach. However, says the Gemara, the Hegdish was able to pay for the items it bought immediately, because the Kahanim's reason him. Since the Kahanim are diligent in what they do, there was never a situation where any items were left unused, that the flour could become wormy, that the wine could become sour, because Kahanim immediately used these items that they bought, and there's never a concern that they should become spoiled. The Mishnah now lists 15 different jobs that there were in the Beis HaMikdash, by different workers, by different offices. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Rambam says this, it wasn't just these 15 people mentioned in the Mishnah, there were actually, all these people mentioned in the Mishnah had staff. But these were the 15 jobs that there were in the Beis HaMikdash. Elohim and Munim Shevi Mikdash. These were the 15 administrators in the Beis HaMikdash. Yoachim and Pinchas al Chasamas. Yoachim and Pinchas took care of the tokens, as we will learn in Mitzvah and the Gemara. When somebody wanted to buy something, he paid for it and he got a token with which he received what he was supposed to. Achya al Hanasachim. Achya took care of selling the Nasachim. Like the Mefarshim explained, although people who had to bring a carbon usually brought their animal from home, because an animal, a live animal, can't be makabel tuma, can't become tame. However, the nesachim, which are wine, flour, oil, can become tame. So they didn't want people to bring their own wine and flour from home, which chas v'shalom may be tame, and we're now allowed to bring something which is tame to the Beis HaMikdash. So they were careful to buy it in the Beis HaMikdash. Masi ben Shmuel al Paisos. Masi was in charge of taking care of the lotteries. As we were learning with Hashem Masechta Yuma, there were a lot of Kahanim who wanted to do Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, and the way it was determined who should do it was through lots. Psachya al Akinim. Psachya took care of pairs of birds that, in many circumstances, as we will learn, given certain situations, a Zov, a Yeledis, had to bring pairs of birds, and the Mishnah is telling you that Psachya was in charge of this. As the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Kinim hein hein gufei Torah, there are very difficult questions involved in Kinim, and that's why a great Talmud Chacham had to be in charge of this position to make sure if there was any mix-up, as the Mishnais and Masechta Kinim teach us, to know how to deal with those situations. Who is Psachya, says the Mishnah? Zav Mordechai. He would be able to open up concealed difficult matters and explain them. He knew all 70 languages. We'll speak about this more in the Gemara. But the Gemara, the Mishnah here calls Mordechai Psachya. Mordechai from the Megillah. So Mefarshim explained, how did he get the name Psachya? So they say Mordechai, the first letter of the word Mordechai is Mem. First letter of Psachya is Pei. Pei is 80, which is double Mem, which is 40. Tuf is double Resh. Ches is double of Dalet. Mordechai constantly grew. He doubled, he grew. But the last two letters of Psachya are actually half of the last two letters of Mordechai. Yud is 10, is half of Chav 20. And Hey of Psachya is 5, is half of the Yud of Mordechai, which is 10. Why at the end is his name, the letters of his name, less than they are at the beginning? So the Mefarshim say a number of reasons. One reason is because even though Mordechai became great, he was still an Anuf. He held himself humble. Another shot is that the Gemara says at the end of Masechet Megillah, that it says in the Megillah that Mordechai was Rotsui L'Roi V'Echov V'Loi L'Kol Echov. Not all of Klal Yisrael was satisfied with what Mordechai did. Parshu M'Menem Mixes Sanhedrin. Parshu Sanhedrin left Mordechai. So that's why the end of the word Mordechai is less. That's why Psachya is less than Mordechai, even though he became great. Not everybody was satisfied with what he did. And the third pshat is that Psachya, Pei Sof Ches, Hitaka became great, but all of his greatness he attributed to Yud Kei, which is the Shem Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. The Kedushas Levi explains the name Psachya in this fashion. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that by Kabbalas HaTorah, Kof Aleim HaKegigas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us to be Mekabel the Torah. But the Gemara says, "Hada kablua b'me'ach Hashverish," that in the time of the Megillah, in the time of the Nes of Esther, Klal Yisrael were mekabel the Torah, and that time they did it b'rotzen. So Tosfos asks, "Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to force us to accept the Torah? Didn't we say Nasa v'Nishma that we were very willing to accept the Torah. So Tosfos says, they said Nasa v'nishma on Torah Shebiksav, but not on Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebalpeh, they only were Mekabel Berotzen at the time of Mordechai. Why? What was so special about the time of Mordechai that at that time they were ready to be Mekabel Torah Shebalpeh Berotzen? The answer is, to understand Torah Shebalpeh, to appreciate Torah Shebalpeh, you have to have a good Rebbe, you have to have a good teacher. Psachya, that the Gemara, that the Mishnah now teaches us, that Mordechai had this ability to be Dorish, to properly teach Torah, when they had a Rebbe like Mordechai, then they were able to Mekabel Torah Shebalpeh Berotzen. Ben Achai, Achayel Me'ayim, Ben Achai took care of people of Kahanim who got sick. Nechunya Chayfasichin, Nechunya was the digger of ditches, Gvini Cruz, Gvini was the one that made the announcement when it was time to bring the Karban Tamid, Ben Gev Al Niil Sharim, Ben Gev took care of locking and opening the gates, Ben Bechi Al Mimuna, Ben Bevi Mimuna Al Pekir is in charge of the wicks, or we'll see that he was in charge of the whip, that they had different people in different positions during the night watching the Beis HaMikdash, and he used to walk around. If anybody fell asleep, he used to take the whip to wake him up. Ben Azar Tzaltzel, Ben Azar took care of the cymbal, which was the Levim sang with. Hurgis Ben Levi El Ashur, he took care of the singing. Beis Garma, Beis Lechem Aponim, the people, the family of Garmo made the Lechem Aponim. Beis Aftinus and Beis Aktaris, Beis Aftinus made the Aktaris. Elazar Al HaPreiches, Elazar took care of the Preiches. He was in charge of the people who made the Preiches. Pinchas HaMalbish, and Pinchas took care of dressing the Kahanim. A number of jobs were involved in that. One was that he took care that they should have that he should dress them and undress them. He also took care of the production of the Big Day Kahuna, and he also made sure that the Big Day Kahuna should fit the Kahanim perfectly. Says the Gemara, Rechizki Amar of Simon V'Rabbonin. There's a machlokes now that we need to understand. The Mishnah listed 15 people that had 15 different jobs. When did these people live? Did they all live at the same time? Did they live at different times? Who are these people? Charamer, so one says, Ksheri Dor V'Dor Bo Limnos. The Mishnah is mentioning the most significant people who did these jobs over the history of the standing of the Beis HaMikdash. V'Charamer, but the other Tana says, Mishay Bo'is Dor Manash Abav Dor. The one that lived in that door is the Tana who lived in that generation, mentioned all the people that lived in his generation, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he mentioned the people from all the times. Now, the Gemara, to understand the next piece of Gemara, we have to quote a Mishnah, two Mishnahs actually, in Masechet Yuma. There's a Mishnah Masechet Yuma that Flamed Zayin Omer Aleph. The Mishnah says, Mishnah mentions various people who did different things in the Beis HaMikdash. Ben Cotton made faucets for the Kiyah. Mumbus HaMelech made golden handles for the Kalim, etc., etc. Then there's a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Ches that mentions the Elul Gnai. The following people did things that weren't nice. Beis Garma, because they didn't want to teach Klal Yisrael how to make the Lechem upon him, as we will learn in the next blot. Beis Aftinus, who didn't want to teach Klal Yisrael the Ketores. Hogris HaLevi, that didn't want to teach people how to sing. So now the question is as follows. If, as we just learned, our Mishnah is mentioning the people of the various generations, of one time, excuse me, who did the job, that doesn't necessarily mean that they were better or worse than anyone else. They were all the people that lived at the time the Tana of our Mishnah is speaking. So therefore, we can understand why, although our Tana mentions them, the Mishnah Masechet Yuma calls them Elul Gnai. We're not satisfied with their actions. But if the pshat in our Mishnah is that our Mishnah is mentioning Sheirim, the best who ever existed, so So how could the Mishnah Masechta Yuma say Elul Gnai, that these people are being singled out for disgrace? Our Mishnah just said Ksherim, the best are being mentioned. Manda Emma asked the Gemara, that our Mishnah is mentioning the best from all generations. So how do we explain that the Mishnah in Masechta Yuma Daf Lam Zayin says Aleim Oimer regarding the group list in Daf Lam Zayin Zechet Tzadik Levracha, and me and the other Mishnah says V'shem Rishoyim Yerkov Manda Omer according to Manda Omer, that says that we list the people in his generation, so we could understand why the Mishnah calls them Akulam Oimer Shem Rishoyim Yerkov, that then they should be cursed. But according to the other Manda Omer that says that our Mishnah is mentioning the best, so how do we explain the Mishnah called them Shem Rishoyim Yerkov? Ami Nema Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. So the Gemara Ben Katan Chaverev. We have to say that even the people listed in the second Mishnah on Daf Lamed Ches, Beis Aftinas, Beis Gamru, Hugras Halevi, are all good. The only person that we'll say was not good, that we would call him Shem Rishoyim Yerkov, is Ben Kamtzer, who did not want to teach the people how to write the Shem Hashem properly. Continues the Gemara. Om Rabbi Yoina. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, in Yeshaya, L'chein achalak loy berabim, I will assign him a portion berabim, v'satsumim yichalak shalom, they will divide the spoils with the mighty. It's Rabbi Kiva, Shehiskin, Mishnah, Medrash, Halakas Vagodas. He set up for Klai Yisrael. This was the forerunner of the Mishnayis. All of these Midrashim, Halakas Vagodas. V'yesh Aymrim, El Knesh, Anche, Knesset Agdoyle Tiknu. Setting up the pre-runner to the Mishnayis was done by Anche Knesset Agdoyle. Amati Kenzev, what did Rabbi Kiva make? Klawless Apratus. As we know in the Brice that said in the morning, and the Yud Gimel Midas Shatayr the Dreshes Behen, one of the things is Klal Prat. Who is the one that taught us the Torah in that way? It was Rabbi Kiva. So since the Gemara talks about the greatness of people taught Torah, the Gemara continues in that direction. Om Ravua, Ksiv, it says a Pasuk in Divrei Yomim, Mishpachai Soifrim Yosh V'Yavis. Matam Lam Soifrim, what does it mean Soifrim? Soifrim means to count. El Sha'asu a Torah Sfaris first. They made the Torah into list. Chamish La Yitzim V'Truma. The Mishnah says there are five individuals who should not be the ones taking off Truma. Chamish Dvarim Chayav B'Chala. Five species of grain. If somebody makes dough out of it, you have to take challah. Chamesh Esrei Noshim Taras Sarasehim. The first Mishnah Masechta Yevamos teaches us that in certain situations, even if somebody dies without children, there is no Chiyiv Yibum. Shlosh Esrei Shkriis, the 36 Averis for which there's a Chiyiv Karis. Shlosh Esrei Darva Nemel B'Nevel Saif Tar. The 13 Halachas that were said regarding the carcass, the Nevela of a bird, of a kosher bird that wasn't geshachten, properly. Abba Avis Nezikin, the first Mishnah Masechta Bava Kamma, the four primary types of doing damage. Avis Malachas Aban Chesa Achas, the 39 Malachas on Shabbos. He was the one that they were the ones that made these lists. Amar Abacha Ksiv LeEzra HaKoyin HaSoifer. The pasuk calls Ezra HaSoifer. Matam Alayim HaSoifer. Why is he called Sofer? Al-Kshem Shayi Sofer B'Divrei Torah. Just like we see that the words of the Torah were counting, Kacha Yisofer B'Divrei Chomim, so too he counted the words of Chazal. And the Mefarshim explained what is the lesson. The lesson of this is that Ezra taught us that Torah Shema Peh, what Chazal taught us, is just as important as Torah Shema Ksav. And just like the Torah Shebal Ksav, every word has to be counted, so too Torah Shebal Peh. The Haflah, the Amakne, Masechta the Gedushin explains as follows. He says, the Gemara there says, Le'olam Yashlish Odom, Shnois of Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah. A person should spend a third of his days learning Chumash, a third learning Mishnah, a third learning Gemara. Then the Gemara speaks about the Seferim, the people who counted the words of the Torah. Says that flaw. What's Pshat? He says a person who is able to count the words of Torah, that means he understands every word of the Torah quickly. Such a person could spend a third of his life learning Chumash, Mikra, and Tanakh, a third Mishnah, and a third Gemara. However, people such as us, who have such a difficult time understanding everything we learn, we therefore have to spend all of our time learning Talmud, Gemara, and we don't have the opportunity and the luxury to sifrim, to start counting the words. Because as the Chidah says, counting the words of Torah is a very powerful tool in remembering Torah. It's a powerful tool in Yerushalayim. The Shloah HaKadosh says that if somebody is unfortunately unable to learn, he should count the words of Torah. But who was able to really appreciate counting and understanding every word of Torah? Somebody who already knew all of Talmud. We don't know that. That's why we can't do that. In fact, the Chidah says an interesting story. He says there was Rav Sadia Goyim once met a tailor, and he asked the tailor, "Do you know how many stitches you sewed today?" And the tailor responded to Rav Sadia Goyim, "And do you know how many words and letters there are in the Torah?" And Rav Sadia Goyim took that very much to heart. And in fact, there's a song composed by Rav Sadia Goyim that has all of the words of the Torah, how many words there are, how many letters there are. But again, that is for people who are able to spend their days in accomplishing in what they learned. But say to Mepharshim, that's what our Gemara says. Why aren't we Seferim? Why aren't we able to spend our days counting the letters of the Torah? Tells us the Gemara, Rav Chagi b'Shem Reshmu ben Nachman. Because HaRishonim, the early generations, Choshu, Vizor, plowed and planted, Nichshu, Kischu, Idru, weeded, trimmed, cuts of armor reaped and gathered, Doshu, Zoroboru, threshed, winnowed, selected, Tachnu, Herkidu, ground and swifted, Lushin, Kotfu, V'ofu, kneaded, formed, and baked. These are all the actions that are done to prepare a piece of bread. They started from scratch in their learning, but they were able to accomplish so much. However, we, even though they prepared all of this for us, don't have the ability to even learn. And that's why, since we're so limited, we're not able to be the Seferim. The Gross says, we don't even have the basic understanding how to learn Torah. Says the Gemara, if the earlier generations are Malachim, we're men. If they were men, we are donkeys. So Farshim say number pshatim. Pasha pshat is that the basis of our approach to learning Torah is to understand that the previous generations were greater than us. That's why an Achron can't argue with a Rishon, and a Rishon can't argue with an Amora, and an Amora can't argue with a Tana. If we have that approach, then we are able to learn Torah. If not, we're not able to learn Torah. Rabbi Kiva Eger explains, if our attitude and we view the early generations as malachim, then on the bnei adam, then we're people, then we're somebody. But we look at them as bnei adam, as regular people, then we're just as good as donkeys. And the Chasam Sofer says another pshat. The Chasam Sofer says that when somebody leaves this world, how does he have the ability to go higher in the Olam HaEmes if his children act the right way? If we act k'bnei Adam, if we act like mentioned, if we act like people are supposed to, then the Rishonim, the earlier generations, our forefathers, become like Malachim, they could go higher and higher in the Olam HaEmes. But if we act like Chamayrim, if we don't act properly, then they stay like Bnei Adam, they can't go higher in the Olam Hamas. Amar Reb Vahi shata amrin. Reb Zeira said at that time. That time is when Reb Zeira received fruit from which Meiser and Truma was not removed, and he ate it. So he says, "Afil chamar to the Pinchas ben Yor admiran." We're not even like the donkey of Pinchas ben Yor, because the Gemara says, "Chamar to the Pinchas ben Yor, the donkey of Pinchas ben Yor, gam the list of Belial was stolen by robbers one night, avdus tamir gabon tlois yomim, and the donkey was there for 3 days, v'lo tamaklum, refused to eat anything, because everything that the robbers had was stolen food, or they didn't take off Truma Samaisris, and the animal refused to eat it. After 3 days, the robbers decided they're returning the donkey. Amri, they said, "Afiknum in Hacha, let's remove this donkey from here. To like Temskabon, it shouldn't die by us, and we'll just have to deal with the carcass." Afkinu, they let it free. Azas v'kamas la atar demara. She went and stood by her master's door. Shari's mehankas, and she began to make noise. Amalon. So Pinchas ben Yor said to his service, "Pitzchan la hadur alefsa, open the door for this unfortunate animal. This one plus yom delaytamaklum, for 3 days it hasn't eaten anything." Pitzchan lav also said, "Open it up," and she came in. Amalon, yavin laklum teichel, give it something to eat. Yavakam and soirin v'labas lamechel, they gave her barley, but she refused to eat it. Amalei, Rebbe labas lamechel, she doesn't want to eat. Amalei, masakinin. Has it been sifted? Amrlay in. Yes, it was sifted. Amrlay verimtun damai. Did you take off the mai from it? Amrlay, what kind of alfim Rebbe? Didn't you teach us that halikeach zera lebehema, that if somebody buys seeds which you feed an animal, or kemech la'iris, flour which is used to tan hides, or shem la'ar, oil that's going to be used for a lamp, patam adamai, that the halach is that when produce is bought from a ma'aretz, we have to be concerned that he didn't take off trumas maestris. But here the din is that if that produce is going to be fed to an animal, we don't have to be concerned. Amlan, manavalan of the lefta, said Pinchas ben Yor, what should we do with this animal, the machmer's algamis sagin, that it's machmer on itself, farim demai va'achlis. So they had to take off the demai, and that's how she ate the food. So Mefarshim ask, if the halacha is that an animal can eat demai, so why does it have to be machmer? So one answer is that the only time an animal could eat fruit, produce that was taken from an amaretz without taking off the mai, is it was taken specifically to be fed to an animal. But if it was taken not to be fed to an animal, there the halacha is that the mai has trumas and mice have to be removed. And the animal realized that this was the standards of this fruit that was originally taken off for human consumption, and that's why trumasomyces had to be removed. Another answer is that the animal was concerned that if people would see that it was eating, they wouldn't think, they knew that this was a chashva animal, they would think that you don't have to take off trumasomyces from it, so that's why the animal didn't want to eat. Another pshat is, what is the mai? We said the mai is that if you take food from Amoritz, we don't know for sure if he did or didn't take off Trumas and Maestris. This animal was able to perceive that it wasn't a suffix, it wasn't a doubt, that certainly this Amoritz from whom this produce was bought didn't take off Trumas and Maestris, so it wasn't the Mai, it was Tevel, and therefore the animal refused to eat it. Mefarshim say, cute vart. So why did the animal eat and just leave over at the end? Because the halacha is that you could eat, if you have no other option, you could eat the produce and leave over at the end the trumas and maestris. So Mefarshim answered, the animal realized that if we would do that, people would not think that it's leaving over because it's leaving over trumas and maestris. They would think that it's leaving over because it doesn't need that much. So they would give him less to eat. He's still an animal. He wants to have enough to eat. So we learned in the Mishnah, Psachya was in charge al kinim of taking care of the kinim. Bara A, says the Gemara, let's see, my God, how great this person is. He was able to open conceal difficult matters and explain them. Because Yudei B'Shem Loshen, because he knew 70 languages. Says the Gemara, Tani, Sanhedrin Sheyesh B'Shnaim Shichoyim L'Daber. A Sanhedrin has two judges who are able to speak all 70 languages. The Kuhn Ruin L'Shmai, but all of them understand it, because the halacha is that the Sanhedrin has to understand all of the languages, because if they don't understand the languages, they cannot accept testimony. Testimony can only be accepted if they understand if directly from the witnesses. So if you have such a situation, Hareza Ruyel Sanhedrin. That is a acceptable Sanhedrin. Shloish, if you have three people who could speak all 70 language, Hareza Bayonis. That's a mediocre Bezdin. Abba, if you have four people that could speak all the languages, Hareza Chochma. Or Yavna Hayiba Abba. And actually in Yavna there were four such people in the Sanhedrin. Ben Azay, Ben Zoyma, Ben Achnoi, Rebeloz Ben Masya. Farshim explained that what was the greatness of Mordechai Psachia, that really that there are more than 70 languages in the world. But what Mordechai was able to do was all the languages in the world are connected to the 70 basic languages. And then the other languages are offshoots of those languages. Mordechai had such a tremendous skill and power over language that the 70 languages that there were in the world, he knew them so well that when he heard words that weren't part of those 70 languages, he was able to understand the roots of those words and understand all languages and speak all languages. Once there was a drought in Yisrael, they didn't know where to bring the Omer, because like we learned earlier, on the second day of Pesach, they had to bring a carbon Omer from the new barley, but they didn't know where to bring it from. There was one deaf mute there, who put one of his hands on the roof, and the other hand on a hut. And they came to Psachia. He was trying to give them a remez. He couldn't talk. He was giving them a hint where they could find new grain, new barley. Omelhu. Is Asa the Masakir Gagas Trifin, is the place that's called Gagas Trifin and Trifin Gagas. Aslan, the Taman, they went there, Vashkin, they found New Bali. Omrab Yoise Berbun, Pamachas Nishdaf Kala Ilam Kulay. One time the whole world was destroyed because there was terrible hurricanes. Again, they didn't know where to have Omer from. Vav Taman Khar Ilam, there was a deaf mute bear. Dav Yav Yodel, and one hand he put on his eye, for Yodel Sukkar, another hand he put on the door socket. Asil Gav Psach, they brought him to Psachia, Amun Is Aser, the Miskaya, Ein Soichr, Soichr Ayin, is the place that's called Ein Soichr, Soichr Ayin, Vazel Damav Ashkechon, they found new Omer over there. Says the Gemara another story. Shloish Noshim Hevi Kaneim, the three women that brought pairs of birds. Achas Amalei Nosi, one said I'm bringing it from my Eina, Vachs Amarli Amasi, Vachs Amal Zivasi, Zush Amris Lei Nosi, the one that said Lei Nosi, Sovereign Maimer, everybody thought, Shafaz Kamayin, that she was flowing blood like a spring, and the Aloch is, said this Midaraisa, a woman for the first 7 days is a Nida, her life is a cycle of 7 and 11 days. During those days, even if she sees a flow all 7 days, she only is a nida. After the 7 days, she goes to the mikveh and she's tar if she's not bleeding anymore. But then there's 11 days of ziva. If for 3 days she sees dam, consecutive days, she's a zava and she has to bring a pair of birds. So they thought, one for chattis, one for an oila. That's what they thought, that she was saying that she was a zava, because she's like a mine, she's flowing like a spring. Omle ba'ayna sakant. That's not what she meant to say. What she meant to say was that she had a problem with her eye and she was healed, and she brought these two birds, not one as a chattis and one as an oila, but rather both for carbon oila to thank Hashem. So first asked, why don't you bring a carbon taida? So two answers are given. One is a carbon taida requires smicha, and a woman isn't allowed to make smicha, so she didn't bring a carbon taida. Another answer is the carbon taida her husband brought on her behalf. She wanted to bring her own carbon. These were the carbon she brought on her own behalf. Zush Amr Li Yamasi, again, the woman that said for my Yamasi, Savin Meima Shafaz Yam. They thought that she was flowing blood like the sea.
Amla b'yamisakan. So Mordechai said, that's not what happened. What happened was she was endangered in the sea, and she's bringing a carbon to thank Hashem that she was saved. The Tzitz Eliezer, actually in the previous Gemara, points out that from here we see that the woman who brought a carbon because she had an eye ailment and was healed, how sensitive the eyes are, and therefore he says if somebody had an operation on the eye, he should say Birchas HaGoymel. Zusha Ameris leZivasi, Savra Meimah Zava Mamish, the one that said Zivasi, they thought that she certainly was a Zava. Amon Zev Bar Litals Bana, a wolf came to capture a son, and he was saved, and that's why she brought the carbon. So Mepharshim ask, Mordechai, very smart, was able to figure out all of these three situations. But why isn't it, don't we always follow the simple pshat? And the obvious pshat is Zavasi is a Zav. Why do we say, how is he able to figure out that that's not what these women meant? So Mepharshim explain, Jewish women are tsnum, are modest. A Jewish woman would never come say that she was a Zava, that she say explicitly that she was seeing a flow of blood. So he understood that there must be a different meaning to what they were saying, and that's why he interpreted it properly. Ben Achia, we saw that Ben Achia was the person who took care of the Kahanim that had problems with their intestines. Says the Gemara, because Kahanim used to walk barefoot on the stone floor of the Beis HaMikdash, they ate a lot of meat, they drank water, they weren't allowed to drink wine. That's why they had stomach problems. Ben Achia knew which wine is good for the stomach, which opens the bowels if somebody is constipated, and which closes them if somebody has the other problem. Ask the Minchas Elazar. The pasuk says, "Shoyma mitzvah lo yeda davara." Somebody does a mitzvah doesn't have to worry about something bad happening to him. So these kahana were doing the mitzvah of the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. So how come they had stomach problems? So three answers are given. One is that the teva, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, always continues. And the teva is that if somebody walks barefoot and doesn't eat and drink properly, he will get unfortunately ill. Another teretz given is that not all the kahanim, when they did their avodah, had the proper intention. And therefore, for those kahanim are the ones that got sick. And the third teretz he gives is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically made that the kahanim shouldn't always be in perfect health. He wanted the kahanim to have some sort of mild discomfort, and therefore they would better appreciate people in Klal Yisrael who are having difficulty, and they would be able to daven and do avodah on their behalf.